welcome to the Saving Castles podcast, the sanctuary for castle devotees and medieval history enthusiasts. Prepare to embark on a thrilling voyage through time as we unveil enthralling history and legend. From ancient folklore to cutting-edge restoration, we've got it all covered. So grab your headphones and let's dive right in.
In the dimming light of the 9th century, the tapestry of England was woven with threads of turmoil and resilience, a land caught in the relentless grip of Norse invaders. The Viking Age, a period marked by the clash of cultures and religions, saw the shores of the British Isles darkened by the longships of the North. These seafaring warriors, renowned for their ferocity and unparalleled maritime skill, launched a series of raids that would not only plunder wealth, but also lay the foundations for an era of conquest and settlement. Amidst this storm of sword and fire, a figure emerged from the mists of despair, a beacon of hope and strategic genius, Alfred the Great. Alfred's ascension to the throne was neither expected nor straightforward. Born to King Ethelwulf of Wessex, he was the youngest of five brothers, seemingly destined for a life overshadowed by his siblings' claims to power. Yet fate, with its inscrutable design, had carved a path for Alfred that would lead him to the zenith of Anglo-Saxon history. His early years were marked by a thirst for knowledge, a passion for justice, and an unwavering faith that would guide him through the darkest days of his reign. The Viking siege of England was a crucible that tested the mettle of its people and leaders alike. Kingdom after kingdom fell before the Norse onslaught, their lands carved up by the sword and the flame. Wessex, under Alfred's leadership, stood as the last bastion of Anglo-Saxon resistance, a solitary light flickering against the encroaching darkness of Viking domination. It was in this dire context that Alfred's true greatness would shine forth, not only as a warrior king, but as a visionary strategist, whose understanding of warfare transcended the limitations of his era. Retreating to the Somerset Marshes after a devastating defeat, Alfred's situation seemed hopeless, his kingdom on the brink of collapse. Yet it was in this moment of apparent defeat that the seeds of his legendary comeback were sown. From the shadows of adversity, Alfred meticulously planned his counterattack, gathering intelligence, forging alliances, and rethinking traditional methods of warfare. His leadership transformed despair into determination, guiding his people through the crucible of conflict towards the dawn of a new era. As we delve into the saga of Alfred the Great versus the Viking Horde, we uncover the untold strategies that not only saved England from the clutches of Norse invaders, but also altered the course of warfare forever. This is a tale of cunning, resilience, and the indomitable spirit of a king whose legacy continues to echo through the annals of history, reminding us of the power of vision and the enduring strength of the human spirit. The late 8th century heralded the onset of an epoch destined to be stained by the blood of countless battles and the ashes of razed settlements. This was the beginning of the Viking Age, a period that would redefine the contours of medieval Europe with the edge of an axe and the prow of a longship. The Norsemen, emerging from the fjords of Scandinavia, embarked upon their legendary voyages not merely as plunderers, but as harbingers of a new era of warfare, exploration, and cultural exchange. The genesis of this seismic shift can be traced back to the year 793, when the tranquil monastic island of Lindisfarne off the coast of Northumbria was assaulted with a ferocity that shook the foundations of Christendom. The Vikings, as these Norse invaders came to be known, demonstrated a mastery of surprise and speed, their longships enabling them to strike with terrifying precision before vanishing into the sea's vastness. This raid was not an isolated event, but a portent of the storm that was to sweep across the British Isles, leaving a trail of destruction and transformation in its wake. The Norsemen's motivations extended beyond mere pillage. Their society was undergoing profound changes, driven by overpopulation, political consolidation, and a warrior ethos that valorized martial prowess and adventurous exploits. The seas offered a canvas for their ambitions, a pathway to wealth, new territories, and, for some, the chance to carve out new lives in lands far from the harsh winters of their homeland. As the Viking raids grew in scope and ambition, their tactics evolved. What began as hit-and-run incursions by small bands of warriors gradually escalated into large-scale invasions and attempts at settlement. The Vikings besieged not just isolated monasteries, but entire kingdoms, leveraging their naval supremacy to penetrate deep into the heart of England. Their longships, marvels of medieval engineering, afforded them mobility and strategic flexibility, enabling them to outmaneuver the slower, more cumbersome forces of their adversaries. The impact of the Viking Age on the British Isles was profound and multifaceted. It was an era marked by violence and upheaval, but also by significant cultural interactions. The Norse settlers introduced new technologies, words, and customs, weaving their threads into the fabric of English society. Yet, the constant threat of Viking invasion also forced the fragmented Anglo-Saxon kingdoms to confront their divisions, laying the groundwork for the eventual unification of England under a single crown. In this crucible of conflict and change, Alfred the Great would emerge as a pivotal figure. His reign, marked by both war and wisdom, stood as a testament to the resilience of a people and the transformative power of leadership. As we delve deeper into the story of Alfred's struggle against the Viking horde, we uncover not just a tale of survival, but of the enduring legacy of a king who faced the dawn of the Viking Age with courage, innovation, and a vision for a united England. In the waning years of the 8th century, a shadow began to spread across the horizon of Europe, a harbinger of storm and strife that would redefine the age. This was the dawn of the Viking Age, a tumultuous period when seafaring warriors from the fjords of Scandinavia set sail across the known world, their longships cutting through the waves like arrows through the air. These Norsemen, driven by a potent mix of ambition, desperation, and the sheer thrill of adventure, embarked on voyages that would etch their names into the annals of history with blood and fire. The inception of this era was marked by an event that sent shockwaves through the heart of Christendom. The raid on Lindisfarne in 793 AD. The serene monastic community, nestled on a quiet island off the coast of Northumbria, was ill-prepared for the ferocity that descended upon it. The Vikings, with their swift longships and ruthless efficiency, unleashed a maelstrom of destruction that would become a chilling portent of what was to come. This raid was not merely a quest for plunder. It was a declaration, a bold announcement of the Norsemen's arrival on the world stage. The motivations driving these Norse incursions were manifold. Scandinavia in the late 8th century were a region in flux, grappling with overpopulation, scarce arable land, and the burgeoning power of local chieftains and kings. The sea offered a vast expanse of possibilities for these fiercely independent people, promising not only wealth but also land and glory for those brave enough to seize it. Thus, propelled by a potent combination of necessity and ambition, the Vikings embarked upon their legendary expeditions, forging a legacy of fear and admiration that endures to this day. The impact of these raids extended far beyond the immediate spoils of war. The Vikings' mastery of naval technology and tactics allowed them to strike with unprecedented speed and unpredictability, challenging the existing paradigms of warfare. Their longships, marvels of engineering, were not just instruments of destruction, but also symbols of the Norse spirit. Agile, resilient, and unbound by the frontiers that confined others, these vessels enabled the Vikings to navigate not only the open sea, but also the shallow rivers of Europe, penetrating deep into territories once thought secure from such marauders. As the Viking raids escalated from sporadic pillaging to full-scale invasions, the political and social landscape of the British Isles was irrevocably altered. Kingdoms that had once warred among themselves now faced a common enemy, one that recognized neither borders nor allegiances. The ferocity and frequency of these incursions forced the Anglo-Saxon realms to confront their divisions, laying the groundwork for the unification of England. It was in this crucible of conflict that leaders like Alfred the Great would rise, figures who would not only defend their lands, but also envision a greater, unified kingdom. Yet the Viking Age was not solely a saga of conquest and destruction. Through the smoke of battle and the din of clashing swords, a complex process of cultural exchange unfolded. The Norse settlers brought with them not just their weapons, but also their language, their crafts, and their pagan beliefs, intertwining their fate with the peoples of the British Isles. Over time, these interactions would give rise to a vibrant tapestry of cultural synthesis, influencing everything from the English language to the very social fabric of the regions they settled. In the figure of Alfred the Great, we find the embodiment of resistance and renewal, a leader who confronted the tidal wave of Viking aggression with a blend of military genius, diplomatic acumen, and a profound vision for his kingdom. His story is not just one of survival against overwhelming odds, but also of the transformative power of leadership in an era of unprecedented challenge. As we delve deeper into Alfred's struggle against the Norsemen, we uncover a narrative that transcends the mere clash of arms. It is a story of how the darkest moments can forge the greatest heroes, and how the dawn of the Viking Age brought not just devastation, but also the seeds of enduring legacy and unity. In the tapestry of medieval history, few threads gleam as brightly as the saga of Alfred the Great, whose ascent to the throne was as fraught with adversity as his reign, was marked by triumph. Born in the year 849 to King Ethelwulf of Wessex, Alfred was the youngest of five brothers, each destined to wear the mantle of kingship in a time when such a title was both a crown and a target. From an early age, Alfred's life was steeped in the lore of his people, the Saxons, whose realm of Wessex was a beacon of learning and culture in an age of darkness and strife. Alfred's childhood was a crucible that tempered his spirit and intellect. Unlike his brothers, who were groomed for rule and warfare, Alfred's early years were marked by a profound love of learning and a deep piety that would guide him throughout his life. His visits to Rome, first with his father and later with a pilgrimage, left an indelible mark on the young prince, exposing him to a world far beyond the shores of Wessex. In these formative journeys, Alfred encountered the splendour of the papal courts and the remnants of the Roman Empire, experiences that would fuel his vision for a kingdom united not only by sword but also by wisdom and justice. Yet, Alfred's path to kingship was neither straight nor assured. The spectre of Viking incursions loomed large over his youth, a constant reminder of the fragility of peace and the impermanence of power. Each of Alfred's brothers ascended to the throne in turn, their reigns marred by the relentless Norse assaults that threatened to extinguish the light of Saxon civilization. It was against this backdrop of chaos and war that Alfred's character was forged, his experiences on the battlefield and in the court imbuing him with a keen understanding of leadership's burdens and responsibilities. When Alfred assumed the throne in 871, Wessex stood on the brink of annihilation. The kingdom, beset by Viking invaders, was a land under siege, its people looking to their new king for salvation. Alfred's early reign was a testament to his resilience and tactical acumen. Faced with a superior enemy force, he engaged in a series of guerrilla skirmishes and defensive battles, each a lesson in the art of war and the price of freedom. Yet it was not Alfred's martial prowess alone that set him apart, but his recognition of the need for a strategy that transcended the battlefield. Alfred's vision for Wessex was revolutionary. In a time when might often made right, he sought to build a kingdom grounded in law, education, and the welfare of his subjects, drawing on the wisdom of the ancients and the counsel of his advisers, Alfred initiated a series of reforms aimed at strengthening the kingdom's defences and revitalising its culture. He restructured the Saxon military, establishing a network of fortified towns known as burhs to protect against Viking raids. He also championed the cause of education, recognizing that the survival of his kingdom depended as much on the minds of his people as the strength of their arms. But perhaps Alfred's most enduring legacy was his codification of laws, a blend of traditional Saxon customs and Christian principles. In this endeavor, he sought not merely to enforce order, but to foster a sense of justice and equity, principles that would guide the governance of Wessex long after his reign. It was this holistic approach to leadership, one that balanced the demands of war with the necessities of peace, that endeared Alfred to his people and cemented his place in history. Alfred's struggles against the Vikings and his efforts to unify and strengthen his kingdom were not merely the trials of a king, but the forging of a legend. His life, a tapestry of victory and despair, wisdom and warfare, stands as a testament to the enduring spirit of a man who faced the tempest of his times with unyielding resolve. As the 9th century unfolded, the Emerald Isles of England were ensnared in a web of conflict and conquest, the likes of which had not been seen since the days of Roman dominion. The Viking Age, with its relentless raids and incursions, had morphed into a full-scale siege of England. The Norsemen, once content with plundering coastal monasteries and isolated settlements, now sought to conquer and claim the rich lands of the Anglo-Saxons for their own. It was in this age of sword and fire that Alfred the Great, King of Wessex, faced the greatest challenge of his reign. The Viking strategy had evolved from hit-and-run tactics to the establishment of permanent settlements, or Dane law, in the heart of England. East Anglia, Northumbria, and parts of Mercia had fallen under Norse control, with Viking law and governance supplanting the Anglo-Saxon ways. The landscape of England was irrevocably altered, its political and cultural fabric torn and rewoven with Norse threads. These were not merely raids. They were a calculated effort to carve out a new Viking kingdom within the Isles, a testament to the Norsemen's ambition and martial prowess. The year 865 marked the beginning of what would be known as the Great Heathen Army's Invasion, a formidable force of Norse warriors that landed on the shores of East Anglia. Led by the legendary figures of Ivar the Boneless and Ubba, among others, this army cut a swath through the Anglo-Saxon kingdoms, their victories fueled by both their ferocity and the disunity of their foes. The ancient kingdoms of Northumbria and East Anglia quickly succumbed, their lands annexed and their people subjugated or driven to the fringes. Wessex, under Alfred's rule, stood as the last bastion of Anglo-Saxon resistance, a solitary flame flickering in the gathering dark. The Viking tide that washed over England brought with it a storm of challenges for Alfred, testing his resolve, his strategy, and his very vision for his kingdom. The Norsemen's approach was relentless, their sieges and battles marked by a brutality that spared neither age nor station. It was a war of attrition, with Alfred and his forces pushed to the brink of despair. The pivotal year of 878 had saw Alfred's kingdom under direct threat, with the Viking army led by Guthrum launching a surprise attack on Chippenham, a strategic move that forced Alfred into hiding and brought Wessex to its knees. The tales of this dark period speak of Alfred's time in the Somerset Marshes, a moment of reflection and re-evaluation for the king. From the ashes of apparent defeat, Alfred's resolve was hardened, his strategies refined. It was here, in the solitude of exile, that the seeds of his counter-offensive were sown. Alfred's guerrilla tactics, his mobilization of the local third, and his establishment of fortified positions were born of necessity, a response to the overwhelming force of the Viking invaders. Yet these measures were also indicative of Alfred's innovative approach to warfare and governance. He recognized that the survival of Wessex And indeed, the Anglo-Saxon way of life depended on adaptability, on the willingness to adopt new methods of defense, and to rally his people around a common cause. The siege of England by the Viking horde was not merely a military campaign. It was a clash of cultures, of old ways and new ambitions. For Alfred, it was a crucible that tested every facet of his leadership, from his tactical acumen to his ability to inspire and unite his people. The relentless pressure of the Viking siege forced Alfred to evolve, to transcend the traditional role of a king as a war leader and become a symbol of hope for his beleaguered kingdom. Alfred's struggle against the Norse invaders was not just a fight for territory. It was a battle for the soul of England, a fight to preserve a way of life in the face of overwhelming odds. In the darkest hours of the Viking siege, Alfred the Great emerged not only as a military strategist, but as a beacon of light, guiding his kingdom through the storm and into the annals of history. In the depths of winter, as 878 dawned upon the embattled lands of Wessex, King Alfred the Great found himself ensconced, not within the fortified walls of a grand castle, but amidst the cold, damp embrace of the Somerset marshes. This was a time of dire straits for the Saxon king, a period that would come to symbolize the nadir of his reign, and the resilience of the human spirit in the face of overwhelming adversity. The Viking onslaught had swept through the Anglo-Saxon kingdoms with relentless fury, leaving Wessex, the last bastion of resistance, teetering on the brink of collapse. The retreat to the marshes was not an act of cowardice, but a strategic withdrawal, a move born of necessity as the Viking forces, led by the formidable Guthrum, launched a surprise winter assault on Chippenham. This devastating strike forced Alfred into hiding, dispersing his court and army. The Somerset marshes, with their labyrinthine network of waterways and fens, offered a natural fortress of sorts, a place where Alfred could regroup, rethink, and plan his counteroffensive away from the prying eyes of the Norsemen. It was here, in the seclusion of Athelney, an island fortress within the marshes, that Alfred's resolve was forged anew. The king, who had once presided over a prosperous and expanding kingdom, now found himself reduced to the most humble of circumstances. Legends tell of Alfred, disguised as a commoner, seeking refuge with a peasant woman who, unaware of her royal guest's identity, chastised him for letting her cakes burn. This anecdote, whether myth or reality, underscores the profound adversity faced by Alfred and the humility that characterized his leadership. Amidst the reeds and mists of the marshes, Alfred's vision for his kingdom's revival began to take shape. Recognizing the need for a new approach to warfare, he set about reorganizing his scattered forces, instituting a system of semi-mobile fortifications that would later evolve into the famed Network of Birth. These fortified towns were not merely defensive structures, but strategic chess pieces in Alfred's grand design to reclaim his kingdom and halt the Viking advance. Furthermore, Alfred used this time of retreat to cultivate alliances, rallying the support of local nobles and the remaining free Saxon men. He understood that the battle for Wessex was not his alone to fight. It was a collective struggle for the soul of England. The king's charisma and unyielding spirit served as a beacon of hope, drawing warriors and supporters from across the land to his cause. The marshes also provided Alfred with a unique tactical advantage. The natural terrain, difficult for the heavily armored Vikings to navigate, became a staging ground for guerrilla attacks and reconnaissance missions. Alfred and his men launched raids against the Norsemen, gathering intelligence and harrying their forces, a testament to the king's adaptability and military acumen. In the spring of 878, Alfred emerged from the Somerset marshes, his forces bolstered by new allies and a renewed strategy. The ensuing Battle of Addington would prove to be a turning point, not only in Alfred's reign, but in the history of England itself. The king's time in the marshes, far from being a period of defeat, was a crucible that transformed adversity into strength, despair into determination. It was a moment when the future of England hung in the balance, a time of trial that would define the character of a king and the destiny of a nation. In the solitude of Athelney, Alfred found not just refuge, but the resolve to reclaim his kingdom and forge a legacy that would endure for centuries. This period of seeming defeat was, in reality, the prologue to Alfred's greatest victory, a chapter in the saga of a king who faced the darkness of despair and guided his people back towards the light. In the annals of history, the genesis of the English navy under Alfred the Great marks a pivotal chapter, not merely in the defense of a kingdom, but in the shaping of a nation's destiny. Amidst the turmoil of the Viking invasions, with Wessex's survival hanging by a slender thread, Alfred envisioned a bold countermeasure that would transcend the immediate conflict, sowing the seeds for England's future maritime dominance. This was not a mere reaction to the Norse threat, but a profound strategic innovation that would forever alter the balance of power in the British Isles. The Vikings, with their legendary longships, had long held supremacy over the seas, their vessels embodying the spirit of their people, swift, relentless, and unforgiving. These ships, capable of navigating both open seas and shallow rivers, had facilitated the Norsemen's raids, enabling their rapid assaults on the English coast and inland territory. Alfred, in a move that was as visionary as it was desperate, recognized that countering this threat required matching the Norsemen's mastery of the sea. Thus, the birth of the English navy was not born solely out of necessity, but from Alfred's deep understanding of the broader strategic landscape. Drawing upon his keen intellect and the wisdom of his advisers, Alfred commissioned the construction of a fleet that was both an answer to the Viking longships and a statement of his broader ambitions for his kingdom. These ships were designed to be larger and more robust than their Norse counterparts, capable of carrying a greater complement of men and arms, and designed to withstand the rigors of naval engagement. Alfred's initiative was groundbreaking, for it marked the first concerted effort by an English king to establish a standing naval force. This fledgling navy, though modest by later standards, represented a radical shift in the methods of warfare employed by the Anglo-Saxons. The construction of these ships required not just resources, but a reimagining of the kingdom's priorities and capabilities. Skilled craftsmen were gathered, timber was felled from the royal forests, and shipwrights labored to bring Alfred's vision to life, creating vessels that were both a weapon of war and a symbol of hope. The strategic implications of Alfred's naval endeavors were profound. By taking the fight to the Vikings on their own element, Alfred disrupted the established patterns of Norse raiding and forced his enemies to contend with a new threat. The English ships patrolled the waters, engaging Viking longships, and providing a measure of protection to the coastal communities that had long lived in fear of Norse incursion. These naval engagements, though not always decisively victorious, signaled a turning point in the struggle against the Viking invaders, demonstrating that the seas around England were no longer uncontested domains. Moreover, Alfred's navy laid the foundational stone for England's maritime tradition, a legacy that would grow in the centuries to follow, eventually leading to the establishment of one of the world's most formidable naval powers. The creation of the navy under Alfred the Great was emblematic of his broader vision for a united and secure England, capable of defending its people and asserting its interests beyond its shores. The birth of the English navy was a testament to Alfred's ingenuity and his willingness to embrace innovation in the face of existential threats. It was a bold gamble, one that would not see its full fruition within his lifetime but would echo through the ages, a reminder of the transformative power of vision and leadership. Alfred had forged not just a fleet, but a new destiny for his kingdom, charting a course that would lead England from the shadow of Viking dominance to the dawn of a new era of maritime exploration and dominance. In this remarkable endeavor, Alfred the Great transcended his role as a warrior king to become a naval architect, laying the keel for England's future as a seafaring nation. The birth of the English navy under his reign was a pivotal moment in military history, a stroke of strategic brilliance that shifted the tides of war and shaped the course of English history. Amidst the verdant landscapes of Wessex, a battle was waged that would echo through the annals of history, not merely as a clash of arms, but as a moment of profound transformation. This was the Battle of Edington, where Alfred the Great, emerging from the shadows of adversity, confronted the Viking horde led by Guthrum in a confrontation that would determine the fate of England. The stakes could not have been higher, nor the odds more daunting. Yet it was here, upon the field of Edington, that Alfred's destiny and that of his kingdom would be irrevocably sealed. His forces, though outnumbered, were galvanized by a cause that transcended personal survival, the preservation of their way of life against the Norse onslaught. Alfred's leadership had forged a disparate band of warriors into a unified force, one that was prepared to stand against the tide of Viking aggression. The strategic importance of Edington cannot be overstated. Situated on a strategic plane, it offered Alfred and his forces a terrain that neutralized the Vikings' numerical advantage, allowing the Saxon shield wall to be deployed to maximum effect. This ancient formation, a wall of shields locked together, became the anvil upon which the Viking assault would break. Alfred's deep understanding of both the strengths and limitations of his forces, and his ability to inspire and lead, were instrumental in the execution of this battle plan. The night before the battle, it is said that Alfred addressed his men, invoking the shared heritage and destiny of the Anglo-Saxon people. This was not merely a call to arms, but a summons to defend a way of life, to stand as a bulwark against the chaos and destruction that the Vikings represented. The dawn that broke over Edington the following day was not just the beginning of a battle, but the culmination of Alfred's journey from the depths of despair to the cusp of greatness. The battle itself was a maelstrom of violence, a clash of shield and sword, of determination and desperation. The Vikings, seasoned warriors all, launched their assault with the ferocity for which they were renowned. Yet for every wave that crashed against the Saxon shield wall, another was repelled, the Saxons standing firm against the onslaught. Alfred, ever the tactician, had positioned his forces such that the Vikings found themselves fighting not just the Saxons, but the very landscape itself, their flanks exposed and their traditional tactics nullified. As the day wore on, the balance began to shift. The discipline and unity of Alfred's forces, coupled with their strategic positioning, began to take their toll on the Viking invaders. Guthrum's warriors, finding no breach in the Saxon defences, began to falter, their initial momentum lost amidst the shield wall's implacable resistance. The turning point came as Alfred, seizing upon the moment of Viking disarray, ordered a counterattack that would sweep the Norsemen from the field. The victory at Edington was not merely tactical, but symbolic, a reaffirmation of Alfred's kingship and the resilience of the Anglo-Saxon spirit. In the aftermath, Guthrum and his forces were besieged at Chippenham, leading to a surrender that would see the Viking leader baptized and a treaty signed that would redefine the boundaries of Saxon and Viking territory in England. The Battle of Edington thus marked not just a military victory, but a turning point in the history of the British Isles, the moment when the tide of Viking invasion was stemmed and the foundations for a united England were laid. In the saga of Alfred the Great, the Battle of Edington stands as a testament to his leadership, his strategic acumen, and his unwavering commitment to his people. It was a confrontation that transcended the mere clash of warriors, embodying the struggle for the soul of a nation. Alfred's victory at Edington was a beacon of hope, a signal that from the depths of defeat and despair, a leader had arisen who would not only confront the spectre of invasion, but would lay the groundwork for the England we know today. It was a battle that turned the tide, not just of a war, but of history itself. In the aftermath of the pivotal Battle of Edington, where Alfred the Great's visionary leadership and martial prowess turned the tide against the Viking horde, the landscape of England was poised for a transformation profound in both its scope and significance. The subsequent Treaty of Wedmore, though less heralded in the annals of martial glory, was no less revolutionary in its impact, laying the foundations for a peace that would shape the destiny of the British Isles. This was a moment when the sword was sheathed, and the pen became the instrument through which the future was to be written. The Treaty of Wedmore, concluded in 878, was not merely a cessation of hostilities, but a blueprint for coexistence between the Anglo-Saxons and the Norsemen. In the wake of Edington, Guthrum, the Viking leader, capitulated to Alfred, agreeing to be baptized into Christianity and adopting the Christian name Athelstan, symbolizing not just a personal conversion, but a broader reconciliation between erstwhile foes. This act of baptism, performed with Alfred standing as godfather to Guthrum, was laden with symbolism, representing a melding of cultures and faiths that had, until then, stood in opposition. The treaty delineated the boundaries of what would come to be known as the Dane Law, a swath of territory across England's heart, where Norse law and customs would prevail. This division of land did not simply demarcate geographic territories, but signified a cultural and legal mosaic that would characterize England for generations. The Dane Law, encompassing large parts of the north and east of England, became a region where Norse and Anglo-Saxon influences intermingled, giving rise to a hybrid culture that would leave an indelible mark on the English language, laws, and social customs. The Treaty of Wedmore was a testament to Alfred's foresight and his understanding of the complexities of rulership in an age of incessant conflict. It acknowledged the reality of Norse settlement in England, opting for integration and accommodation rather than continued enmity. This pragmatic approach to governance, emphasizing stability and coexistence over perpetual warfare, highlighted Alfred's sophistication as a statesman and his commitment to the well-being of his realm. Moreover, the treaty and the establishment of the Dane Law served as a catalyst for the further consolidation of Alfred's power and the ongoing process of unification under what would eventually become a single English nation. By recognizing the Norse presence in England and establishing mechanisms for peaceful cohabitation, Alfred laid the groundwork for the integration of Viking settlers into the fabric of Anglo-Saxon society. This integration, while fraught with challenges, would enrich the cultural and economic life of England, contributing to the emergence of a more unified and resilient polity. The Treaty of Wedmore also underscored the role of Christianity as a unifying force in Alfred's kingdom. Alfred's zeal for Christian learning and his efforts to revive education and religious devotion among his people were intertwined with his vision for a united England, one that stood as a bastion of Christian civilization amidst the tumult of the Viking Age. The conversion of Guthrum and his followers was not just a diplomatic victory, but a spiritual conquest, furthering the Christianization of the Norsemen and integrating them into the Christian order that Alfred sought to build. In the broader sweep of history, the Treaty of Wedmore and the establishment of the Dane Law represented a moment of profound transformation, where the clash of arms gave way to the forging of a shared future. It was a testament to the possibility of reconciliation and integration in the wake of conflict, a lesson that resonates through the ages. Alfred's legacy, cemented by his victories in battle, was equally defined by his achievements in peace, his ability to envision a realm governed by law, learning, and faith. The Treaty of Wedmore stands as a monument to Alfred's greatness, not merely as a warrior king, but as a visionary statesman who navigated the treacherous currents of his time with wisdom and courage. In the tapestry of English history, the threads of Norse and Anglo-Saxon destiny were woven together in a pattern complex and beautiful, a testament to the enduring power of diplomacy, faith, and the human capacity for renewal in the shadow of war. In the twilight of the 9th century, amidst the tumult and turmoil that had beset the British Isles, there emerged a figure whose legacy would transcend the bounds of his time, casting a long shadow over the annals of history. Alfred the Great, by virtue of his indomitable spirit and visionary leadership, not only steered his kingdom through the darkest of times, but also laid the foundations upon which the nation of England would be built. His influence on warfare, governance, and the cultural identity of England is a testament to the profound impact one individual can have on the destiny of a nation. But Alfred's influence extended beyond the battlefield. His vision for England was of a kingdom united not just by force of arms, but by the bonds of law, learning, and faith. His legal reforms, which sought to blend the traditional Saxon laws with Christian principles, laid the groundwork for English common law, a legacy that endures to this day. Alfred's passion for education and his efforts to revive learning among his people, including the translation of key texts into Old English, helped to preserve the cultural heritage of the Anglo-Saxons and foster a sense of national identity. Moreover, Alfred's establishment of a network of monasteries and his patronage of scholars and clerics were instrumental in the Christianization and cultural integration of the Norse settlers, furthering the process of national consolidation. His vision of a Christian kingdom, enlightened by the values of learning and justice, was a beacon of hope in an age often characterized by darkness and despair. The legacy of Alfred the Great is a mosaic of military innovation, legal reform, educational revival, and cultural integration. His leadership not only saved England from the brink of Viking conquest, but also set it on a path toward unity and prosperity. The England that emerged in the centuries following Alfred's reign was a testament to his vision and determination, a nation that would endure and evolve, reflecting the values and ideals that he championed. As we conclude this exploration of Alfred the Great's life and legacy, it is clear that his influence on England and the broader tapestry of history cannot be overstated. His story is a compelling narrative of resilience, innovation, and visionary leadership, offering timeless lessons on the power of determination and the enduring impact of enlightened governance. Alfred's legacy is not just a chapter in the history of England, but a beacon that continues to illuminate the path of nations and leaders across the ages. Thank you, dear listeners, for joining us on this journey through the life and legacy of one of history's most remarkable figures. As we bid farewell, let us carry forward the lessons of Alfred's life, a reminder of the indomitable spirit of humanity and the transformative power of vision and leadership. Join us next time as we delve into another chapter of the rich and fascinating tapestry of medieval history, exploring the stories of those who shaped our world in ways both seen and unseen. Thank you for joining us on this enchanting journey through medieval history. While our weekly episodes will continue to captivate your imagination, there's an exclusive treasure trove for subscribers, a secret vault of bonus episodes filled with extra tales and deep dives into the subjects we cover. Your curiosity fuels our mission, and we're truly thankful for your support. Until we meet again among stone walls and towering turrets, keep that torch of curiosity burning bright. Thank you for listening.